Hello, welcome. We're going to discuss the capital asset pricing model. The capital asset pricing model is the expected return on the market. It's a calculation that we will do to determine what is our required rate of return on a certain security. The expected market return is an important concept in risk management because it is used to determine the market risk premium. The market risk premium is part of the capital asset pricing model, or CAPM formula. This formula is used by investors, brokers, and financial managers to estimate the reasonable expected rate of return on a given investment. Expected return on an individual security. The process is similar to expected market return, only difference is that it is finding an asset price for a single security. So expected return on the market. So we'll have the market rate of return. That is equal to the risk-free rate of return, which is typically a 10-year treasury benchmark, because remember, the treasury bills are deemed risk-free because they are backed by the government. So if the risk-free rate is estimated by the current yield on the one-year treasury bill, let's assume it is 4.96%, and the risk premium is 1.39%, and so the expected market return will be 6.35%. You'll add those two together. So we have the risk premium and we have the risk-free rate of return. So that will give us our market premium, which is part of the capital asset pricing model. So an expected return on a security. This is the security market line. The security market line is a graphical depiction of the capital asset pricing model. Now, you'll see on the vertical axis, you'll see the rate of return as it's measured by beta and how it correlates to beta. So you can see with beta, A is less than 1, so it is less volatile than the market. You'll see the return for A would be less than the market. So less volatility means less return. So it doesn't move as much as the market. So if the market moves, let's say a stock has a beta of 0.7, and let's say the market grows 10%, well, the stock might only grow 7%. So it's less volatile than the market. So if we've got a beta, let's look out at the security market line at B. So you can see that B is greater than the return on the market, but it also has a greater beta than 1. So you can see how the return on an asset is going to be correlated to the volatility measured by beta. So if beta is greater than 1, the security is more volatile, therefore will produce a greater return because it has more risk. And if the beta on the security is less than 1, it'll have less volatility, less risk, and it'll return less than the market. So let's look at the formula for CAPM. So we can see our return on an asset, RA. That is what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to determine what is our return for this single asset. So the formula for CAPM is the rate of return at the risk-free rate. So remember, that's the treasury benchmark, whatever that 10-year T-bill is in the market, whatever that interest rate is, that is what you'll plug in for your risk-free rate, the one-year treasury bill. B is beta. Remember, that measures the volatility of the security against the market. Now we need to determine our market risk premium. So we have the required rate of return, or the expected market return, minus the risk-free rate. Now we'll work our example. The shares of Aardvark Enterprises has a beta of 1.5. Shares of Zebra have a beta of 0.7. The risk-free rate is assumed at 3%, and the difference between expected return on the market and the risk-free rate is assumed to be 8%. What are the expected return on the two securities? So we want to compare Aardvark's expected return to Zebra's expected return. So let's calculate. So for Aardvark, remember the risk-free rate is 3%. The return on the market is 11%. Their beta is 1.5. Okay? So now let's plug it in. So risk-free, 3%, plus the beta of 1.5, the return on the market, 11%, minus the risk-free at 3%. We do our order of operations first. Here's our market risk premium, 8%, 1.5, plus 3. Continuing with the order of operations, 1.5 times 8 plus 3 will give us a return of 15%. So, aardvark's expected return ...15%. Simple calculation. The beta determines how risky this asset is. So it has a beta greater than 1.5, so it's going to be more volatile than the market. And you can tell that we're going to capture the return from the volatility, because a 15% return on a single security is a very reasonable return. Let's look at Zebra. Same thing, risk-free rate, 3%, plus beta. We know Zebra's beta is 0.7. You know the market risk premium is 11%, minus the 3% risk-free rate, 8%. Remember, order of operations first, cleared the parentheses, 0.7 plus 3. So now we continue the order of operations, multiply out the parenthesis, add in the 3%, we have a return 8.6% for Zebra. Zebra's expected return is 8.6%. Now, because the volatility is lower than 1, you can see a lower return than the 11% market rate. This is the expected return on the market, 11%, remember. So the market's beta is 1. Notice our beta for Zebra, 0.7. Notice the market return is 11%. We're lower than the market return. You can see how that correlates with a lower beta. Likewise, remember, market return is 11%, market beta is 1, aardvark's beta is greater than 1.5, so the market return, the expected market return is 11%, notice the premium on aardvark at 15. So, as a financial manager, you need to determine which investment do you want to make. Do you want to get a return less than the market, knowing that you're going to be more risk-averse and a little more safe? Can we deal with an 8.6 return? Or do we want to go with the riskier asset with a higher volatility at the 1.5 beta point, 15%? It's greater risk than the market, a greater return than the market, but do we have the appetite for that risk? Those are the decisions that a financial manager has to make. You compare returns, investment decisions, and make the smartest choice for your firm that's going to help you grow your profit and enhance your portfolio.